Good evening, everyone. Guten Kvittel. We are holding on. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Nun. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And it's also sponsored in memory of Alan Kasten, Alav Shalom, beloved father and grandfather, on the occasion of his second yard site, which was today, I believe, from the Kasten, Keller, and Shapiro families, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And we thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding right after the Mishnah, right at the beginning of the Gemara, on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. The first thing the Gemara is going to discuss is that the Mishnah had said right at the outset that Lo Amar Klum, that if a person sees in a distance a certain landmark and he decides that's where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, but it's ill-defined, it's a huge tree, and he just says by that tree, but it's a huge area, so Lo Amar Klum. So the first thing we're going to see is two different opinions in Amoraim, what that phrase means in this context. Lo Amar Klum, and therefore what? Therefore he's not Kona Shvisa at all? Therefore he's Kona Shvisa, but not where he wants to be Kona Shvisa? What exactly does Lo Amar Klum mean in that context? And through the course of that discussion, we're going to encounter a principle that comes up in Shas called Kol She'eno B'zeh Achar Zeh Afilu B'bas Achas Eino, that any time two things cannot happen in succession to each other, then even if you try to do them simultaneously, neither is going to be Chal. And the Gemara is going to question whether that rule is in fact a universal rule, that Kol She'eno B'zeh Achar Zeh Afilu B'bas Achas Eino. We're going to have three challenges to that rule. So that's going to take us a little bit out of Erev into Kol HaTorah Kula, because that's a Shas concept. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to return Bezras Hashem to the topic of Erevin and being Kona Shvisa underneath the tree. And the Gemara is going to talk about how small a tree would have to be in order to be Kona Shvisa under a tree without defining exactly which part of the tree you want to be Kona Shvisa for, meaning there's a certain minimal size tree where just saying the tree is good enough, where you don't have to be more specific than that. How small of a tree would that have to be? And then the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas to each shita in Amoraim about what Lo Amar Klum actually means. And we'll see, Bez Hashem, we're going to have a pretty nice Daf Yomi coincidence today as well, Bez Hashem, not directly from the Daf, but somewhat indirectly from the Daf. So let's see, says the Gemara, my Lo Amar Klum, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that if a person says, I want to be Kona Shvisa by that landmark, by that tree, by that fence, by that wall, that it's Lo Amar Klum? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lo Amar Klum, Kol Iker, Tafilu Taktu Shalila, No Matzi Yazil. It means that he's not allowed to move. He's stuck, meaning he's not Kona Shvisa anywhere. Not only is he not Kona Shvisa under the tree, he's not even Kona Shvisa where he's standing. Because the Rabbeinu Yonasan explains, by saying that he wants to be Kona Shvisa by the tree, he's saying he does not want to be Kona Shvisa where he is. So he can't be Kona Shvisa where he doesn't want to be Kona Shvisa. Where he does want to be Kona Shvisa, it doesn't work because he was not specific enough, and therefore he's stuck to his Dalet Amos. He's only allowed to go Dalet Amos. That's at least how Rashi understands the Shita of Rav. However, the Tosus Rid disagrees, and the Tosus Rid thinks that Lo Amar Klum means that he's not Kona Shvisa at all by the tree, that the tree has nothing to do with his Makom Shvisa. Rather, he's Kona Shvisa where he is. Where he is right now is his Makom Shvisa, and it's Alpayim Amma from there. So that's how the Tosfos Reader understands, but we're going to stick with Rashi's understanding. It will flow a little easier. So again, Rashi's understanding that Rav tells us, what does it mean, Lo Amar Klum? He's not Kona Shvisa at all. He's stuck in his Dalet Amos. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, nah, Lo Amar Klum Lebeso. Lo Amar Klum means that he's not going to be able to travel as far as he thought he'd be able to travel, to go the 2,000 Amos that it takes to get to the tree, and then the additional 2,000 Amos from the tree to get back home. But he is allowed to travel as far as the tree, and Nasa Takhtav Shalilon Chamar Gamal. And the way we view how he's Kona Shvisa under the tree, we just view it L'chumra in both directions. Meaning, what's the whole problem with saying that he wants to be Kona Shvisa under the tree? The problem is the tree is huge. The tree is 30 amos. So where under the tree do you want to be Kona Shvisa? On the north side, the south side, where exactly? So that's the whole problem. So as far as that's concerned, we're going to say he's konishvis under the tree, but we're not sure where to exactly measure the 2,000 amos of his tchum from. So we're going to go l'chumra, meaning when we want to measure how far north his tchum goes, we're going to start measuring the 2,000 amos from the southernmost tip of the tree. When we want to measure how far south the tchum goes, his tchum goes, we're going to measure 2,000 amos from the northernmost tip of the tree. So in that sense, it's a chumra in both directions, but he's at least kona shvisa under the tree somewhere, and therefore baldim dod min atzafon mod delamin adarom. If he wants to travel north, we measure his 2,000 amos from the south. Baldim dod min adarom. If he wants to travel south, mod delamin atzafon, we measure his 2,000 amos from the north side of the tree. So I'm a rabbi. My time of the rav. What is the basis for Rav's shita? And again, we're assuming Rashi's understanding of Rav's shita that he's not kona shvisa at all. So the Gemara is going to have two explanations. What the logic is for Rav and an afkamina between them. So one explanation, Rabbah says, Mishum delo mesayim asrei. It's because he was not precise enough. He just said he wants to be kodesh vis in the tree. The tree is huge. He didn't define a specific makom that he's actually being kodesh visa. The ikadamri, but another version is, Amar Rabbah maitai medarav, Mishum de kasavar kol she'eno, bazeh acharzeh afil bebas achaseino. And there you have it. That's going to lead us far astray into a much bigger conversation. But what it means to say is that we have a klal in halacha that whenever two actions could not both be chal in succession to each other. The first one is chal, and once the first one is chal, the second one cannot happen. When you try to do those same two actions simultaneous to each other, neither of them is going to be chal. The classic example would be a man is allowed to marry a woman. That's the way it works. You mekadesh nisha, the kiddushin is chal. But what you're not allowed to do is then marry her sister. The kiddushin would not be chal on your wife's sister, right? So you can't do it. The first one would work, the second one would not work. Let's say you go over to, you're not married to anybody yet, you go over to two sisters and you say, you give them both a ring and you're Mekadish both of them simultaneously. Neither of them are Mekadashas. The Kedushin doesn't work at all. That's the principle of Kol Sheino B'zeh Achazeh. If you can't have two things work in succession to each other, then Afilu B'basa Achaseino, then they can't work simultaneous to each other either. So what does that have to do with our situation? Because imagine a person is kona shvisa in a particular four amos. He cannot then be kona shvisa in an additional four amos. He can only be kona shvisa in the four amos that he originally was kona shvisa. You can't then be kona shvisa in a different four amos and measure the 2,000 amos from a different four amos, because his makom shvisa is determined by his original makom shvisa. So since you can't be kona multiple makomos, to be kona shvisa multiple makomos, one after the other, you also can't be kona shvisa in eight amos simultaneously. So if you take a tree that's huge and say, I want to be kodesh visa in all that, you're taking an area that's much larger than Dalet Amos, and you're trying to be kodesh visa in the whole thing, so the whole thing doesn't work. Even in the original four Amos, it just doesn't work at all. That's based on that principle of kol she'eno b'zeh achazeh, afilu b'bas achas eino. So says Gemara, my b'nai, what's the nafkamina between the two explanations of Rav Shita, whether it's because it was ill-defined, he wasn't precise in where he's being kodesh visa, or whether it's on account of the fact that it can't be done in succession to each other, and therefore also can't be done simultaneously. What if the fellow says, I want to be kona shvisa only in four of the amos that are under the tree? He just never identifies which four amos under the tree. So he doesn't say, I just want to be kona shvisa under the tree, which may be a very large area. He says, I want to be kona shvisa in four amos that are under the tree, but we just don't know which one he's talking and which four amos he's talking about. So if the problem is, and the reason he's not kona shvisa is because he was never specific, halo masayim asrei, over here also he's not specific. But if you hold that the problem that Rav had is that when two things cannot be done in succession, then they also can't be done simultaneously, well then, over here, he's only being kona shvisa in four amos. He's not trying to be kona shvisa in more than four amos. And there, dacha arba amos kamer, because he said specifically that he's being kona shvisa in four amos, and therefore you wouldn't have this problem, and he in fact would be kona shvisa according to Rav. So that's the nafkamina, what the logic is of Rav, whether the logic is that he just wasn't precise enough, or whether the logic is this Shas topic, this Shas principle of Kol Sheinu B'Zeach HaZeh, Afil B'Bas Achas Eino. So once we're on that topic, says the Gemara Gufa, let's start analyzing whether that klal in fact holds true in all of Shas. We're going to have three challenges to this principle of Halacha. That Kol Davar Sheinu B'Zeach, Amar Rabba, Kol Davar Sheinu B'Zeach HaZeh, Afil B'Bas Achas Eino, Esve Abaye L'Rabba, so Abaye challenges Rabba from a Tosefta in Demai. Hamrabba B'Maisos, so let's say a person, he decides he wants to give Maisar Rishon, but not just Maisar Rishon, not just Maisar always means 10%, he wants to give extra. So he's going to give 20% for Maisar Rishon. So Peros of Mesukanim, the other 80% of his Peros that were previously Tevel, they're fine now because he took Maisar Rishon off of those Peros, but Masros of Mekulkalin, the Maisar Rishon that he tried to identify is now a mixture of Maisar Rishon and Tevel, because the other 10% of it is Maisar Rishon, the other 10% is Tevel that never had Maisar Rishon separated from it. Now the halacha is, even though Maisar Rishon could be eaten by anybody, Maisar Rishon belongs to a Levi, Dine Mominus, it belongs to a Levi, but the Levi is allowed to share it with whoever he wants, unlike Truma. Truma you give to a Kohen, and only a Kohen and his family and his household are allowed to eat it, right? A Kohen can't share Truma with the Yisrael. Maisar Rishon's not that way. Maisar Rishon could be eaten by a Levi, and he can give it to his Yisrael friend also. It's just that it's the Dine Mominus of the Levi. But that's true with Maisar Rishon. Tevel can't be eaten by anybody. Not the Levi, not Yisrael, not anybody. So if you have Maisar Rishon and Tevel that are mixed together, you've got a real problem. Even though Rav Yosef Engel has a discussion in one of his farm, I think in Asfan D'Oraisa, about whether the Isser of Tevel is really just an Isser of Truma and Maisar Rishon, because every time there's Tevel, it means that somewhere in there is untithed, is Truma that hasn't been taken care of yet, or Maisar Rishon that hasn't been taken care of yet, or Maisar Sheni that hasn't been taken care of yet. And maybe that is the entire Isser of Tevel, but even though there is such a possibility in Lamdus, Tevel in a certain sense is more Chamor than any of those things. Meaning, even if the whole reason for the Isser of Tevel is only because of the Truma Shabo, Tevel is more Chamor than Truma, in the sense that even a Kohen is not allowed to eat Tevel, right? Tevel is more Chamor, even a Levi is not allowed to eat Tevel. So that's the Halacha. So it's when you say that it's Peiros of Meskanim, Umasros of Mekulkalin, it's because you have Maisar Rishon and Tevel that are all mixed together. So I ask the Gemara, Amai, why are the other 80% of the fruits okay? Why are they Mesukanin? Lema Kol Sheinu B'Zeach HaZeh Afilu B'Basa Achaseinu. After all, if let's say a person takes 10% of produce for Maisar Rishon, good, that's Maisar Rishon. Now he decides to go back and take another 10% for Maisar Rishon. So it's worthless. The second action is worthless. It doesn't do anything. The second 10% that he takes is not Maisar Rishon. So therefore, if you can't take 10% and then another 10% for Maisar Rishon, so it's Eino B'Zeh Achar Zeh, so shouldn't the principle tell us, Afilu B'Bas Achar Zeh, no? That if you try to take 20% at one shot, it's also totally ineffective for any of it, and it's not Maisar Rishon and Tevel that are mixed together. It's just all Tevel. There's no Maisar Rishon ever taken. And therefore, the first 80% is also Tevel, because he never took Maisar Rishon from it. If we were to actually apply this principle of Kol Sheinu B'Zeh Achar Zeh, Afilu B'Bas Achar Zeh, no. So says Gemara, no, Shiny Maisar, Dise L'Chatzoin. Maisar is different because the halacha by Maisar is that you don't have to take complete produce and declare it Maisar. You don't have to take a whole apple and say this entire apple is Maisar, a whole stalk of wheat, and this entire stalk of wheat is Maisar. D'Amar Tiktosh Palga Palga D'Chitasa Kadcha. If a person wants, he can take 20% of his produce, 20% of the wheat, and say that 50% of each stalk is that I've taken is Maisar Rishon, and therefore it tracks to exactly 10%, because you could do that. There's no din that you need shalem when it comes to Maisar Rishon. So too over here, if your mafresh 20% stam, the shem Maisar isn't chal on all 20%, only on half of each pri, or half of each chita. So it turns out, all you really were mafresh is Maisar, and that's why the other 80% of the produce is perfectly fine. But ma'asros of mekulkalim, because since you aren't miskaving to take Maisar on the second half of the peros that you gave to the Levi, so it turns out that you gave him peros that are half Maisar and half Tevel, so you never actually separated the Maisar out from the other 10% that's actually Tevel. So that's why that case is an exception, because since you have such an idea, such a possibility of making making half of a pre meiser, so therefore we'll allow it to apply bebas achas, because what's actually happening is that only 10% is really being given. So it says Gemara, okay, but we'll challenge this principle from a second place. What about meiser behema? The halacha of meiser behema also does it, which you are not going to be able. The Gemara already preempts the potential answer, right? The answer we gave by meiser of produce was that it happens lechatzain, and therefore it's not subject to the rule. Meiser behema, you can't give a half an animal. Meiser behema, it's got to be a whole animal. So right off the bat, whatever answer we gave before is not going to work for the question we're about to ask for meiser behema. A little bit of background on meiser behema is important and relevant over here. The halach of meiser behema is that the Torah tells us, in mitzvah semina Torah, that every year a person is supposed to take all of the new bakar and son that were born in his flock that year and do a hafrasha. How does he do it? He puts all of the animals together in a pen, and he opens up the doorway to the pen very narrowly so that one animal comes out at a time, and he counts them out one by one, right? That's one of the interpretations the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has of what we said in the Sana Tokev today, that Kivnei Maron, that we're all over in the fun of Kivnei Maron. So one of the three explanations the Gemara has, like sheep. So by sheep, Pashtos is, some of the Rishonim explain, it means like sheep that you're counting for Meiser Behema, because otherwise you don't have to count your sheep one by one. And when do you have to count them one by one? When it's Meiser Behema, when you're counting them out and you let them each out of the pen one at a time. So you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the 10th one you mark red, you paint it, so you mark it as being Meiser Behema. Then you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, you do a Zrikas Hadam, you're makter the Emurim, and the basar you could eat yourself, like Kachim Kalim, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but you're allowed to eat it yourself. The Bailim is allowed to eat the basar. If it was a Balmum, then the Bailim could eat it anywhere, and obviously it's not brought as a carbon. So let's say a person made a mistake in how he counted the 10 animals. So then it really depends what his mistake was. Meaning, if he called number 9 or number 11 10, then they too become kadosh. But if, let's say, he calls number 3 10, he counts 1, 2, 10, so then that doesn't become kadosh. That's just ridiculous. Meaning, that's not even an honest mistake. That's so off that wouldn't even... That wouldn't even become kadosh. Even when you call number 11 10, it's only going to become kadosh if you happen to have called number 10 number 9. But if you call number 10 10, then when you call number 11 10 as well, it's not going to be chal. The kadosh is not going to be chal on number 11. So now, given that background, farei meiser behema delesi lechatzah in meiser behema, where you can't be mafresh half an animal for meiser behema, it's got to be only complete animals, and it also doesn't apply bezuah chazu, like we just said. If you call animal number 10 10, and then you call animal number 11 10, the 11th animal is not kadosh, so it doesn't apply in succession to each other. The chalos is not going to happen on animal number 11, and nevertheless, va'amar rabba yatsu shnayim ba'asiri. Let's say you counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the first 9 came out well behaved in the single file, one at a time, and then the 10th one, instead of the 10th one just walking through, his friend sneaks in with him, and they both squeeze through at the same time. Two animals squeeze through at the same time as number 10. So and you call both of the ones that came out 10th and 11th simultaneously, you call them both 10. We assume that there is a status of Meiser Behema that's chal on one of them, the other one is not Meiser Behema, it's just number 11, and therefore there's a taroves of the two. One of them is actually Meiser Behema, and the other one is kadosh. It's kadosh, but it's not Meiser Behema. What kedusha does it have? It has kedusha of a carbon shlamin. So you have a tarovis of meiser with a carbon shlamin. You don't know which one is the meiser and which one is in fact the shlamin. Now it makes a difference, because if an animal that's a shlamim requires smicha and nisachim and tenufas chaz of a shok, and you could be pod to them if they develop a mum, and if you're hamir on another behema, so that animal is going to be brought as a karban. By meiser behema, none of those halachas apply. Now that they're mixed together, and you don't know which one is the shlamim and which one is the meiser, so you have to be machmir in both directions. You need to do the tenufas chaz of a shok, the smicha, on both of them, because of a suffix that each one might be the shlamim. Rashi adds, but you don't say a bracha when you do those things. No birchas mitzvah, because it's a chashash bracha levatala, because you don't know each one might actually be the meiser animal, and then it's going to be a bracha levatala if you say a bracha on these mitzvahs. But the bottom line is, even though meiser behemoth would not be chal on two behemoths in succession to each other, apparently it is chal when it's bebas achas. If you call number 10, and then number 11, number 11 has no kedusha, it would not be chal at all. But when you call the 10th and 11th that come out simultaneous to each other, you call them both 10, now they both do have kedusha. So how could that be? How could the kedusha be chal? Isn't this a raya that even though something is eno bezeh acharzeh, bebas achas it does work? And so Gemara, no, shiny meiser behemoth di ise bezeh acharzeh, bitaus. Meiser behemoth sometimes does work one after the other. Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Becharos, kara lechi asiri, ula asiri chi, ula achara sar asiri, shlasha mekudashin. That if you were to call number 9, 10, you can imagine a person's counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and then he realizes, oh, no, mentally he realizes he skipped 9. So the next one that comes out, he says 9, and that's really the 10th one. And then once he said 9, the next one that comes out, he calls 10. So now he called the 11th one 10. So now all of them are kadosh. So you do see that there is a circumstance where even Bazeh Acharzeh, the 11th one, is going to have Kedusha. And therefore, Bebas Achas, when number 10 and 11 come out simultaneously, they can both have Kedusha. Now, over here, Rashi made this comment. We just pointed out that even though you have to do, when you have Meiser and Shlamin mixed in with each other, you do the Tenuvas Chaz of Ashok, you do all the Chumras, but you can't say a Bracha on it because it might be a bracha Levatala. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Aruch Chaim Sim Tavkov Chav Zayin, that if a person forgot to make an Erev Tavshil and an Erev Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, and he remembers an Yom Tov Rishon, meaning let's say you have a case where Yom Tov falls out Thursday, Friday, and then it leads right into a Shabbos, and it's in Chutz La'aretz, and Wednesday afternoon you didn't make your Erev Tavshilin. So what do you do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, what you can do is as follows. On Thursday, day one of Yom Tov, you can make it Tanai. Make an Erev Tavshilin and make it Tanai. What's your Tanai? If today is really Yantif and tomorrow is Chol, Friday is Chol, so anyway I'm allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos because it's Chol. And if today is really Chol and tomorrow is Yantif, so then this Erev should count. I'm making an Erev here on what is in fact Erev Yantif, and the person is allowed to make such a Tanai. So the Magen Avraham writes that before you make such an Erev, you should say a Bracha. You should recite a Bracha on such an Erev. So the Marsham in Das Torah quotes a Chida in Birkei Yosef, quotes from earlier poskim, not to say a bracha on an Erev that you made al Tanai. Rabbi Kivager also quotes from the Lechem Starim that way not to say a bracha, and the Marsham says we could bring a raya from Rashi in our sugya. Rashi says, since you don't know which of the behemos is the shlamim, you cannot make a bracha on the tenufa and on the smicha. So kol shkein, when you're making an absolute Tanai, that you're not allowed to say a bracha. But as far as Rashi is concerned, it may be a raya from Rashi, but Rashi itself is somewhat difficult. Why not say a bracha? Meaning, apparently, Rashi's assuming not to say a bracha because at the time that you're doing the mitzvah, you don't know which one is the mitzvah. Each one is a suffix. You don't know if you're necessarily fulfilling the mitzvah. But between the two of them, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, right? Meaning, if you know one of these is for sure a shlamin, so if you do say one bracha and then do the tenuvas chaz v'shok on both of them, so what would be the problem? That's not a risk of a bracha levatala. That's the kasha that the Achronim ask on Rashi. But you see that Rashi holds that you're not allowed to say a bracha. And l'chora, the reason is because of hefsek. You have to do the tenufa of one of them before the other. So if the first one you do the tenufa on is the correct one, is actually the shlamim, you guessed well and everything's great. But let's say you say a bracha, you do a tenufa on one of the animals, and it turns out the animal that you did the tenufa on first was really the meiser behemah, didn't require a tenufa. And then you do a tenufa on the shlamim, so now you are mafsik between your bracha and your mitzvah. You are mafsik with an unnecessary tenufa between the bracha and the mitzvah, and that's no good. You can't be mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. And that brings us to our inyana diyoma connection. The Achronim discuss what happens if a person has two esrogim. One of them is muhudar, it's very beautiful, but it's a suffik morkav. It has a suffik to its kashrus, and this was not an uncommon problem. lot of times they were markiv esrogim with other trees, with lemon trees or whatever, because it produced a more beautiful esrog. Unfortunately, it produced a pasul esrog, but you couldn't tell by looking at it. So let's say you have one esrog that's magnificent, it's gorgeous, but it might be pasul, and you have another esrog whose yichus is perfect. It's got a great yichus, and you know that it's kosher, but it's an ugly looking thing. It's misshapen or whatever, so it's not a beautiful esrog. So the post can discuss which one should you take. Which one should you take first? Should you take the vaday kosher first, or the mahuder one that's safek kosher first? So they quote from Reb Chaim. I think they say Reb Lazer Silver was one that passed down this story, this maysa from Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim paskin to take the safek kosher and definitely mahuder one first. Why? Because if you were to take the kosher one first, what's going to happen? You'll say a bracha on the esrog, then you'll take the kosher esrog. Now you've already been yotzei the mitzvah. So now you are adding no value by taking the second esrog. You already got the mitzvah. So what are you doing by taking a second esrog? It may be very mahudar, but it adds nothing since you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. It's not shaykh to be mahader in the mitzvah when the mitzvah is already over. But if you take the mahudar one first, so if it's kosher, Matov. It's a fantastic thing. You got a hiddur mitzvah, and it's great. You were mekayim the mitzvah behiddur. And if it's not kosher, good. So then the second esrog you take will be kosher, and you'll be yotzei the mitzvah that way. So you will not have gotten the hiddur, but you'll have been yotzei the mitzvah. So you see, Reb Chaim holds that it's not shaykh to fulfill hiddur mitzvah after you've already been mekayim the mitzvah. You can only be fulfill hiddur mitzvah while you are being mekayim the mitzvah. So Rav Lazer Silver just had a ha'ara based on Rashi in our sugya, that based on Rashi, if you're mafsik between the bracha and the actual mitzvah with some other sort of maisa, well then it's a hefsik. So l'chora, you have a problem over here. What was Rav Chaim's whole lamdus? Take the safek one first, the one that's definitely mehudah but a safek kasher. Yeah, and let's say it's pasul, then you just wasted time in between the bracha and your mitzvah. And Rashi says that ruins the whole bracha, that you can't do that, that that's risking a bracha levatala. So that was Rav Lazer Silva's question. So this comes up, it's brought up by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mekrei Kodesh on Sukkis, Chelek Beis Simen Tes, where he said that this kasha was asked to the Briska Rav. They asked the Briska Rav, everyone knows the famous Maisa with your father Reb Chaim, so no, how do you defend it based on Rashi? So the Briska Rav says, nah, Lulav is different than other mitzvahs. The Rambam writes in the 7th paragraph of Hilchos Lulav that even if you take kol min v'min b'fnei atzmo, you yotzei, you pick up your Lulav, and then your Esrog, then your Adasim, then your Rav, one at a time, you yotzei. So even if the Esrog is Morkov, since you took a lulav, you had a lulav in your hand at that time, so it's lo gara, it's no worse than taking a lulav adasma ravos and then picking up an esrog, which because he had your lulav adasma ravos in your right hand, then you picked up something in your left hand, but ignore it. Whatever you pick, you know, that muhuder suffic kosher one, let's say it was a nothing, it was a nobody, still it doesn't ruin anything because you're then allowed to pick up a kosher esrog afterwards, and that would still work. So that's why the Briska Rav defended the shita of his father of Reb Chaim. Okay, back in the Gemara now. So now the Gemara has a third challenge to this idea of Kol Sheinu Bazeach Zavil Basach Hazeno. Vare Toda, what about the Lachme Toda? So Lachme Toda, the halacha is that every carbon Toda is supposed to have 40, there's a Zevach, there's an actual carbon, then there are 40 loaves of bread that go along with that carbon. Of those 40 loaves of bread, there are four types, 10 of each type, and of the four types, one of those types is Chametz, so 10 loaves of Chametz, and 30 loaves of Matzah, and that's why we don't say Mizma Lasoda on Erev Pesach or throughout Pesach, Chalamoy Pesach either, because in order to bring Karban Toda, you need to bring Chametz, right? Lechem Apanim you always had, because Lechem Apanim was Matzah. So Lechem Apanim was on the Shulchan Tamid, because it was always Matzah. That's the Raya, that Matzah could be up to a Tefach High. It could be a Tefach Thick, because the Lechem Apanim was a Tefach Thick. Shulchan Aruch writes, we don't do that anymore, it's a little risky. You have to really know what you're doing to make sure that it doesn't become Chametz. But that's why we don't say Mizmal Soda on Erev Pesach, because the carbon toad is supposed to be eaten and the 40 lachmi toad are supposed to be eaten within less than 24 hours. If you bring it on Monday afternoon, you have Monday afternoon and Monday night to eat it, and that's it. So if you were to bring on Erev Pesach, you were to bring a carbon toad, you are now cutting short the amount of time that you're allowed to eat it, because by Chatzos and Erev Pesach, or before Chatzos, you're already not allowed to eat chametz. So it would really narrow the window, and it's going to be maybe kachim lebeis apsul. So So we don't bring a Karban Todah on Erev Pesach, and certainly not on Pesach itself, where you can't have Chametz. And that's why, by the way, we don't say Mizmor L'Sodah on Erev Yom HaKippurim, because not only are the Chametz loaves a problem, the Matzah loaves are a problem also on Erev Yom HaKippurim, because you're not going to be able to eat it that night. That night is Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat anything that night. And, you know, the Netziv, in his commentary on the Chumash, tells us that the reason that the Torah demands that there be 40 loaves of bread and that they be eaten in less than 24 hours is because that really speaks to the concept of Todah. The concept of a Todah is to be grateful and to express your gratitude. The best way to do that is by sharing it with other people. So no human being is going to be able to eat 40 loaves of bread. I shouldn't say no human being. They have these crazy eating competitions on July 4th or whatever. I don't know if those are humans. I don't know. But no normal human being is going to be able to eat 40 loaves of bread in less than 24 hours. It's not going to happen. So the only way to get all the Lachmei Todah eaten is by inviting all of his friends. And that's the way Todah is supposed to be done. By, oh, why are you inviting me for the Suda? Oh, because I have a Suda Soda. That's the concept. That's where Suda Soda comes from. That's where you're supposed to express it. That's why I had a Suda Soda. If you've ever been to a Suda Soda, the proper thing to do is that a person is supposed to get up and express exactly what they're grateful for. I remember I was once privileged to attend a Suda Soda that Mrs. Shirley Lamb made for her husband, Rabbi Maurice Lamb. Rabbi Lamb had gone through a lot of very, very serious medical issues, and when he had been in the clear from one of his more harrowing medical issues, she made a Sudas Hoda'ah in her backyard, and she got up and she spoke, and she went through every detail of the ordeal, because that's what you're supposed to do by a Suda Soda, to share with everybody exactly what happened and what it is that you're grateful for. But anyway, back to our Gemara, Vari Todah, you have a Karban Todah, the less of a Ta'us. You can't be Makdish more than 40 Chalas, 40 loaves for a Karban Todah. The less of a Chazet, you also can't do 40 loaves for a Karban Todah, then another 40. The other 40 doesn't mean anything, it's irrelevant. Once you're Makdish 40, you know which your Lachmei Todah are. The Itmar, and yet we were also taught Todah Shnishchal Shmonim Chalos. If you have a Todah that was shechted with 80 loaves, Chizkia Amar Kitcho La'Arboyim Mitoch Shmonim, Chizkia says 40 of them actually work. It actually counts as Lachmei Todah. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kitcho La'Arboyim Mitoch Shmonim. Rabbi Yochanan says no, none of them are Kadosh because you didn't have 40. So from Chizkia you see that even though something doesn't apply Bezeh Achar Zeh, Bebas Achas it will apply, because if you're to do 40 and then try another 40, it doesn't work. But all 80 at once, 40 of them actually become kadosh. It does work. So Chizki is a raya that even something that's Eino Bezachas that can apply Bebasachas. And Zegmar, Itmar Alam, Rabbi Zera, Kol Modim, Heichad Amr Liktish Arbaim, Mitoch Shmonim, Dekachi. Everyone were to agree that if you take 80 loaves and say 40 of these are the Lachmei Todah, that for sure works. Even Chizki agrees to that. If you were to take 80 loaves and say Lo Yiktish Arbaim Elim Kein Kitchu Shmonim, then I don't want, it's all or nothing. I don't want anything to be kadosh unless all 80 are able to be kadosh, then kliyam lo pligi delo kachu. Everyone agrees, okay, all or nothing, it's nothing, right? None of them are going to be kadosh if you're trying to make all 80 of them kadosh. What's the whole machlokas between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan over here? Ki pligi bestama. You take 80 loaves and you say, here are my lachmei todah, but you weren't specific. You didn't say 40 of them, nor did you say all 80 of them. So we don't know what you meant. So Mar Savar Chizki holds Achrayas Kamechavin. You must have meant that you only want 40 to be Kadosh, and the other 40 are just in case. I mean, in case something happens to the first 40, so you have a backup plan, like we have going into Yom HaKippurim with a backup Kohen Gadol. So you have a backup plan. Many shuls needed a backup Chazan. I've heard of a number of cases where Chazanim had to go into quarantine last minute. So you have a backup, they have a backup 40 extra loaves. So that's what Chizki holds. The Marsav Lachrayis Kamechavin Valtanaya Sinu, and the second 40 are really just a Tanai in case something happens to the first 40. Umarsav Arbar Rabbi Yochanan holds the Karban Gadol Kamechavin. No, if you designated 80 loaves, you wanted all 80 loaves to have kedusha, and you can't do that, and therefore the whole thing is not going to be valid. So this really has nothing to do with the sugya of Kol Sheinu Bezeach Zeh Afilu Basachas. Meaning, it's true. Everyone agrees Kol Sheinu Bezeach. The reason Chizkiah says the 40 are kadosh is because you weren't trying to make them all bebasachas. You really only wanted 40 of these loaves to be kadosh, and that for sure you're allowed to do. So that ends that sugya of kol sheinu bezachazeh. So now the Gemara returns to the discussion about being kona shvisa under a large tree somewhere at a distance. Amar Abayi loshanu ela That the only problem that we're going to have in our mission with being Kona Shvisa in this undefined location under the tree is if the tree is 12 amos or larger. But if the ilan is less than 12 amos, Harry makes us base a nicker. You can take a 4 ama area in the middle of that tree, and you know for sure that you're at least overlapping with wherever you were Kona Shvisa. Meaning you tried to be Kona Shvisa under the tree, but you didn't specify where under the tree. If the tree is only 11 amos, and you take the 4 amos in the middle, you know that in your 4 amos in the middle, you're at least overlapping with the place where you're actually Kona Shvisa. Even if you're Kona Shvisa in the 4 amos to one extreme of the tree, there's still a little bit of an overlap with the 4 amos in the middle. So that would be good enough, and that would in fact work to be Kona Shvisa. So Maskev Runa Breda Vishua, Mimayda Barba Mitzyasa Kamasayim, Dilma Barba Dahigis Barba Dahigis Kamasayim. Why does that make any sense? Meaning, who told you you're allowed to take 4 amos in the middle and say, as long as I overlap in these 4 amos with my makom shvisa, that's good enough? Shouldn't you have to be able to point to a spot and say, this spot I know for sure is part of my makom shvisa? Who says you can take a 4 ama area and say that somewhere in this 4 amos it overlaps my makom shvisa? Can you why not take a 100 ama area and say somewhere in these 100 amos? That doesn't work. So you have to be able to take a spot, and therefore the only way it would work is Ela Amaravuna Brid Rishua Lo Shanu Ela Beilan Shetachtav Shmona Amos. It only works if the tree is 8 amos. It's only a problem if the tree is 8 amos or larger, because there is no particular spot you could point to and say, I know for sure my makom shvisa is here. Avol Beilan Shetachtav Sheva Amos Hare Mitzas Pesuniker. But if the entirety of the tree is only 7 amos, you could take the middle of that, of the area under the tree, and say, here for sure I'm Kona Shvisa, because wherever my four amos of Shvisa are, it's definitely in this spot, because it would have to overlap with this spot in the middle. So anytime the tree is less than 8 amos, then we're not going to have the problem that we're faced with in the Mishnah. Period. Now the Gemara says we have a Braisa to support Rav and a Braisa to support Shmuel. Just to remind ourselves, what was the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? The Mishnah had said that if you say, I want to be Kona Shvisa under a tree, but the tree is very large, and you haven't identified precisely where under the tree you want to be Kona Shvisa, Lo Amar Klum. So Rav said Lo Amar Klum means you're not Kona Shvisa at all. You're stuck to your Dalet Amos. Shmuel said, no, it's Chamar Gamal. You are Kona Shvisa under the tree. It's just a question of measurement. When I measure the 2,000 Amos of your Tchum, if you want to go north of the tree, we have to measure from the southern extreme tip of the tree. If you want to go south of the tree, we have to measure the 2,000 Amos from the northernmost tip of the tree. So Tanya Kavasid Rav, Tanya Kavasid Shmuel. We have a brisa to support each one, and obviously if we have a brisa to support each one, we have a brisa to ask on the other one, and then the Gemara is going to point that out. So Tanya Kavasid Rav, we have a brisa that supports Rav as follows. Misha Babadarech V'chosh Chalov, someone was traveling and then it was going to be Shabbos, Vayimakir Ilanogader, and he notices a tree or a fence. V'amar Shvisasi Tachtav, and he declares that my Makom Shvisa should be underneath a tree. Lo Amar Klum, he didn't say anything, it's invalid. Avol Mamar Shvisasi B'Makom Ploni, but let's say he identifies a fenced-in area, and he says, that fenced-in area, that's my Makom Shvisa, Ma'alichat Shemagia Losa Makom, then he could travel all the way to that area, and Nigia Losa Makom, Ma'alichas Kulo, he could travel as much as he wants within that fenced-in area, and V'chutzal Al-Payimama, and 2,000 amos beyond it. Even though the fenced-in area may be very large, but since it's fenced in, we view the whole thing as if it's Dalet Amos, and that's all his Makom Shvisa. It's like a city, right? When you're Kona Shvisa in the city, you get 2,000 amos not from where you are, but from the edges of the city. So if he was Kona Shvisa in that fenced-in area, he gets 2,000 amos in any direction from there. But medvar murim b'makom amasuyam. That's only if there was a makom that was very clearly, easily definable as the place that he's being Kona Shvisa, that it physically stands out. Kigon shejavas betel shu gavas ar tvachim u'me'ar ba'amos ha'beis ha'sayim. Like it's elevated ground that he's Kona Shvisa on, which is somewhere between 4 amos and Beis Asayim large, v'chein bika shehi amuka asara, or it's depressed ground, lower ground, v'me'ar ba'amos ha'beis Asayim, and it's somewhere between four amos and base asayim. Avul makom shein mesuyam. But if there's not, it's not easily defined the area that you want to be kona shvisa. En la'arba amos. Then you're stuck to only your dalet amos. Hayishnayim. If there are two people traveling, echad makir ve'echad sheino makir. One of them notices a landmark and he's familiar with its location, and so he'd be able to be kona shvisa that way. But the other guy doesn't know anything about that landmark. So zeh sheino makir moser shvisa l'makir. The guy who doesn't know anything can tell the guy who does know, I'm kona shvisa with whatever you say. Whatever you do, I'm with you. So v'amakir omer shvisa seinu b'makom ploni. And then the guy who knows can say, we together as a unit are being kona shvisa by that landmark. But that's only if you define exactly which four amos you're being kona shvisa on. But if you don't identify where your four amos are, you're stuck. And that is a raya to Rav. Because what did Rav say? That if you're not precise in defining your exact makom shvisa, you can't go beyond four amos. Not just that you don't measure your 2,000 amos from that tree. You can't go even more than four amos from where you are right now. It's lo amar klum mamish. So it says Gemara lematavi tiyufti de Shmuel. Ooh, so then that price is a problem for Shmuel. So it says Gemara, nah, Shmuel has a way out. Amalach Shmuel hachamay askinan. The price is talking about gon diika makom ragla vadi karo trail fivar bergarmidi. It's talking about a case where from where you are to the base of that tree is 2,004 amos. If he meant to be kona shvisa on the far end of the tree, then he's too far away. He's outside of his own tchum. And if he identified exactly which dalet amos under the tree, he'd be able to go. But if he didn't identify, since there are areas under that tree that are more than 2,000 amos away from him right now, lo matiyazil, he's not going to be able to travel at all. But if the tree is mamish within 2,000, the entirety of the tree is within 2,000 amos of where you're standing, Shmuel says, for sure you could be kona shvisa, even if you don't identify the precise area under the tree that you want. We're just going to have to be machmir in how we measure the 2,000 amos from the tree. But this price is not against me, says Shmuel. This price is talking about a case where part of the tree is more than 2,000 amos from where you are right now. Tanya kavasa di Shmuel, and we have a price that supports Shmuel as well. Say a person didn't know the rules. So he made an Eruv in two different directions. He made an Eruv 1,000 amos north of his city and 1,000 amos south of his city, thinking that you could just do that and just travel as, 3,000 amos in each direction. He doesn't realize that whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So he was unfamiliar. He thought you could do that. Or he told a group of his avadim, go and make for me an Eruv. Two avadim went and made an eruv in two different directions, one to the north, one to the south. So mahalik letzafon ke'eruv ledarom, and ledarom ke'eruv letzafon, that he can only travel as far north as 2,000 amos from his southern eruv, and as far south as 2,000 amos from his northern Eruv, meaning it's a Chamor Gamal. He's got to be Machmir in both directions. But if they put the Eruv in 2,000 Amos away from the city, one of them put a 2,000 Amos north of the city, the other one put a 2,000 Amos south of the city, then he's stuck. He can't travel even an inch north or an inch south because he's got an Eruv potentially in the other direction. So you see that you have a suffix where he's kona shvisa. So we don't say that he's not kona shvisa at all. What do? We make it a chamer gamal. We say we just have to measure it in that way as if it's lechumra, as if he might have been kona shvisa on the other side. But we don't say that he's not kona shvisa at all. So that's exactly what Shmuel said in our case of the tree. You are kona shvisa under the tree. But when it comes to the details of how to measure it, so when we're measuring to the south, we'll measure from the northernmost tip of the tree. When measuring to the north, we'll measure from the southernmost tip of the tree. So this price is exactly like Shmuel. Says Mar, that's a problem for Rav then. Says Mar, no, it's never a problem for Rav. Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rav was a Tana, or had the status of a Tana, at least in some respects, and therefore he was not afraid to argue on prices. And that happens. It's interesting about the other B'nai Doro of Rav, the other members of Rav's generation. There's major discussion whether we could say about any of them, some of them, none of them, that they are also Tana Upalig. But by, about Rav, we say it explicitly, that Rav is a Tana and argues. Because it seems that the that Tanaim and Amoraim, there's no halacha that the early generations of Amoraim were not allowed to argue in Tanaim, but that they chose not to argue in Tanaim. And Rav was simply never Mekabel, not to argue in Tanaim. He thought that every once in a while, it didn't happen that often, but every once in a while, Rav thought to argue on Tanaim, and therefore you can't ask any kashas on him from a brisa. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, two lines from the bottom of the page. A guten kvittel, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to learn together this evening.
Thank you.